The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about him, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you so troubled? And why do you question in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. And you are the witnesses of these things." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On various occasions in the history of the church, the Holy Spirit bursts through and in reality says to the church, "You're not going in the right direction, and I'm going to move things and put you in the right direction." One of those moments happened in 1957. Pope Pius XII died. He had been pope for 19 years, and he was sick the last 5 years and did not name any cardinals. And so there were only 40 or 42 cardinals who gathered to elect his successor. They knew who they wanted. It was an Italian archbishop by the name of Montini, who was Archbishop of Milan. The trouble was Pius XII had not made him a cardinal, and so they needed to install what is called an interim pope, somebody who will just have a very brief papacy, just look after the church, not rattle any feathers or anything like that, and in this case do one particular thing, make sure that Montini is made a cardinal. That happened, and eventually Montini was elected pope and became Pope Paul VI. But the cardinals looked around the room, wondering, who are we going to elect? And there sitting in the corner is Angelo Giuseppe Roncalli, the Archbishop of Venice. He's 78 years old. He's always smiling. He's 100 pounds overweight. He's a chain smoker. And they say, "Bingo, here's our guy." And so they elect him. And the minute he's elected, the Holy Spirit bursts through and turns the whole church upside down. And John the 23rd calls the Second Vatican Council, and he says that the church has been fighting the world all these years, and we need to open the windows and let the world in and let the world know us. And things were forever changed. Fast forward to 5 years ago, Pope Benedict suddenly resigns, and the cardinals elect Jorge Bergoglio, an Argentinian cardinal. And suddenly, from the minute he's elected, things are different. He goes out on the portico of St. Peter's to give his Urbi et Orbi, his blessing to the city and the world, and he says to the 150,000 people there, "Before I bless you, I ask you to bless me." And he bows his head in humility. When they are finished, the cardinals all get on buses and go back to the Casa, and there's a black Mercedes waiting for the Pope to take him to the palace. Instead, Bergoglio, Pope Francis, walks past the Mercedes, gets on the bus, and goes back with the rest of the cardinals. And everything in the church is changed. He keeps telling us The church is not about judgment and condemnation and excluding people. It's about mercy. It's about forgiveness. It's about healing. It's about welcoming and including everyone, whether they meet the criterion or not. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. This past Monday, he penned an apostolic letter called Gaudete et Exultate, Be Glad and Rejoice. And it's a whole treatise on what is holiness. And as I began to read it this week, I realized that it is the opposite of everything that I was taught about holiness. He writes, for example, we are tempted to think that holiness is only those who withdraw from ordinary affairs to spend much time in prayer. That is not the case. I like to contemplate the holiness present in the patience of God's people, in those parents who raise their children with immense love, in those men and women who work hard to support their families, in the sick, in the elderly who never lose their smile. I see holiness in this congregation from this altar every week. I watch some of you young couples come in here and you've got a 2 or a 3 year old and honest to God, they never sit still for a second. They're squirming all over the place. And you just patiently embrace them and hug them and hold, that's holiness. That is holiness. In most marriages, both of you are working. You've got to be exhausted at the end of the day. You come home and those kids are waiting to pull every last ounce of energy out of you. And you've still got to fix dinner, do the laundry, clean the house. When do you find time to take care of one another? That's holiness. That's what Pope Francis is talking about, and that's what we need to recognize. He also writes in that letter, caring for migrants and the poor is as holy a pursuit as opposing abortion. The answer is God's call to holiness. Christians must care for the poor, the sick, and the immigrant, just as they care for preventing abortion. The Holy Spirit, speaking through Francis, is telling us that single-issue Catholicism is not the way to go. We support life from the womb to the tomb in its one seamless garment. And I suspect if we could listen to Pope Francis and reform the church in the way he's asking us, our children will come back. Amen.